I was excited when I heard that Carlene was going to be sharing. I was excited when I heard that she and Lanisha had received one of the Samaritan Purse boxes. And I was so tickled when I saw many of the international folks coming to help us both this past Wednesday and Thursday to pack boxes. And I so want to steal Alice's thunder, but I'm not going to. But at the end of our service, we are going to be blessing those boxes. On this day, I'm going to be preaching a Thanksgiving service. And you're saying, preacher, that's next Sunday. And, well, next Sunday will be another day to give thanks. Amen. But today I want us to talk for a few moments about what I've entitled an attitude of gratitude. And on this Sunday, when we remember the veterans, and thank you, Scott, for the wonderful way you did that. And when we are grateful for the ministry of the Samaritan Purse that reaches to the uttermost parts of the earth, not only with these boxes, but also with the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to go and hear one of the teachings of Christ and an event in his life that should remind me, and hopefully you, that we must always, always be developing and strengthening an attitude of gratitude toward our God. Our text is found in Luke's gospel. It's the 17th chapter. We're going to read verses 11 through 19. It's a fairly familiar story in Jesus' life, an event that he just teaches us how to minister on the go and how to recognize opportunities around us. And he had power that you and I don't have as the Son of God, but he has equipped us with power to be able to say a kind word or an action. I'm so grateful that God impressed upon James in his position with the school board as the international teachers came, and I just can't tell you what a blessing they have been. We all kind of got here at the same time. I was just starting when you guys showed up, and it has just been a blessing of seeing the church be the church. And that is an attitude of gratitude. And I'm grateful for that I experience in so many ways here in this place. So I am not coming to chastise, but to encourage us to continue to develop that attitude of gratitude. It's a story where Jesus is literally on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. And you know why he's going to Jerusalem. It is to pay a debt you and I could not pay. It is to conquer the power of sin in your life and my life. It is for him to become the sacrifice that would wash away all our sins under his precious blood. And I sometimes, when I begin to read these stories and I realize that Jesus knows where he's headed, he knows what's about to happen. He knows why he's going this last time to Jerusalem. And yet, he gives us these beautiful stories that we're about to read. Let's read it together. Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. If you're able, I would invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of this portion of God's word. And on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voice saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God. And Luke wants us to understand how he was praising God. With a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Where are the 9? Wow. Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, to the one who returned, to the one with an attitude of gratitude, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. And the Greek actually reads, your faith has saved you. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his most holy word. Pray with me. God, I am so thankful this morning. I am thankful for this place called Jonesboro Heights, where your love is proclaimed and experienced. I am grateful for those that are here today who come to this place because we love you, because we love each other, because we love this community, because we want to be on mission with you and for you. Oh God, I am thankful that we live in this nation. I pray your blessing not only to be upon all of the veterans, but all those who make decisions and every citizen of this great nation. Lord, it is my prayer that there would be revival to break out in this land. That there would be understanding of our need to be thankful to you for all your blessings and to never take them for granted. Forgive us where we fail. Speak to us clearly for a few moments this morning as we are about to give thanks for hundreds of boxes that are going to go on a mission trip. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, what are you thankful for? How many of you are thankful for technology? It's kind of a two-edged sword, isn't it? I love the story about the turkey farmer who loved technology, and he was into breeding and seeing what he could do, and he realized that his family always liked the leg portion of the turkey at Thanksgiving. And turkeys only have 2 legs, right? So he worked on that, and after a while, he went down to the local store, and he said, "Well, I've finally done it." He said, "You have?" He says, "Yeah, I've raised a turkey that has 6 legs. They said, "Really? 6 legs? He says, "How does he taste?" He said, "I don't know. I can't catch him." I think that's kind of like technology sometimes, isn't it? It's like always doing these great things, but we don't ever seem to really be able to catch it. Thanksgiving, a week from this coming Thursday, today, I don't want us to get caught in the trap that would take our eye off the main thing, that first Thanksgiving. We called them pilgrims then. They gathered, and it had been a difficult time. It was going to be a difficult time. But they paused to give thanks. I wonder, today, are we thankful? I want to suggest that we might ask if today, God, as we hear your word, as we look into this story, if we might need an attitude adjustment, I'm glad God can do that for us. Quickly, the first thing we must do to develop or to adjust an attitude that it would be one of gratitude, is to realize our need. Now, if you have leprosy, it's easy to see your need. It's easy to understand that you've got a problem. Being a pastor, I have dealt with folks for years that have received difficult diagnoses. In 1988, October the 31st, 1988, I remember standing in Dr. Lee's office when he told me that the mole he had just removed from the side of my face was melanoma. And I would bury a woman in 16 days that would die of melanoma. And I remember understanding how, when you have something like that, how hard it is. I remember in June of 1999 when my wife was diagnosed with MS. And we began a journey that we're still on, dealing with that. You hear those words and you know you've got a problem. But something strange has happened, especially in our nation. And that is that we have sanitized sin. We have decided that sin's not all that bad. In a society where we speak our own truth, whatever that means, we've decided that sin is not that bad. And it's not so easy to see the subtle power of sin in our lives. I remember my dad telling a story years ago about a man who raised a boa constrictor to very large size. And the snake was very passive, but he discovered that if the snake really began to constrict, that he could talk it down. He could soothe it. He could massage it in just a way that it would release. Well, he realized that was a business opportunity. So he hooked up to a carnival, and he would go, and he would say, they would say, come watch the man, and the boa constrictor is going to squeeze him almost to death. And time after time, city after city, he would go, and that would happen. The boa constrictor would wrap around him and begin to constrict, and you'd see the veins pop out on his neck, and his color would begin to change, and everyone, and then he'd begin to sweet talk that boa, and it would release, and everyone would applaud. And he went on, and he enjoyed the crowd, he enjoyed the fame, he enjoyed the money that he was making off of doing this. And everything was going well until it wasn't. Everything was going well. You see, we live in a world that's been blessed by God. And in some ways, we look around and we say, oh, everything's going bad. Everything's wrong. We hear the world news. We hear every day when we turn on our news channel, the local channel, there's been a shooting here, there's been a shooting there. All the world's terrible, but then deep down inside we say, but my world's pretty good. It's all right with me. It all seems to be going good until it isn't. Well, you can probably finish that story. He caused the snake to wrap around and to begin to constrict, and right when it got to the point that it was time to make it relax and make it turn loose, he began to do all those things that had worked in the past, but this time they didn't work. And the coils of the serpent took the very life from him. That's what sin will do. Sin, we may get away with it. We may go along with it. We may be able to even enjoy it for a season. But there will be a day. We must understand that sin is a mess and that it will interfere with our attitude of gratitude. We often want to just ease into our sin problem, don't we? Like the news might be easier if we don't deal with it exactly like it is. We don't call it what it really is. I love the story about the fellow that asked his brother to keep his cat while he was away. And he was going to be away for a long time, for several months. And he'd call his brother from time to time. And this time he called his brother and he said, well, how's my cat doing? To which his brother replied, oh, your cat died. And he said, huh? He said, yeah, your cat died. He said, well, that's terrible. You shouldn't have just blurted out that. You should have had more compassion. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, here's how you should have done it. You said, the first time I called and said, how's the cat? You said, well, he's up on the roof. And you said, well, I've called firefighters, and you call me tomorrow, I'll let you know how it goes. And I'll call back tomorrow. I'm worried about my cat now. He said, I'll call back, and you say, well, the firefighters finally got to him, but he's not doing all that well. Oh, he's not doing well? I said, no. The guy says, this is what I should have been telling you when you called me? He said, yeah, this would have made it easier for me. Okay, well, what else? Well, you could have said, well, they took him to the vet. Call back tomorrow, and we'll let you know how it goes. So I'll call you back the next day, and you say, oh, I hate to tell you, but your cat died. And I would have kind of gotten ready for it, and it would have been easier. He said, oh, okay, well, I'm sorry. So then the brother on the trip said, well, how's mom doing? He said, well, she's up on the roof. Friends, we live in a society that's trying to ease the truth that sin's not so bad. Hear me, sin is bad. Sin will separate us from God. I want you to see that 10 lepers crying out the right words, Master, they cried out. Master, Master. I want you to understand that 9 had used the right words, but never developed the eternal change in their life that would create an attitude of gratitude within them. We must realize that sin interferes with us. Listen, I want you to hear what I'm about to say. And if you doubt it, I want you to come to me afterwards and I want you to tell me the situation and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Deal? There's not a church problem. There's not a problem in a church that doesn't have sin at its root. I just want that to hang in the air for a little while. Sin will devastate us. It'll devastate our church. It'll devastate our family. And you and I are seeing how it can devastate a nation. When we've sanitized it and called it everything except what it is, that is a sin. Every home can be better when we realize and acknowledge our sin issues. It's not easy. And we live in a society that says it's not that bad. But oh, I want to tell you, it's like leprosy. It's like melanoma. It's like MS. It's devastating. Not only do we have to realize our situation, we have to rely on God's word. The 10 were given instructions by Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. They believed enough to get a temporary physical healing, but not enough to get the spiritual eternal healing. All 10 received God's blessing. The world lives, listen, the world lives in the blessing of God. You and I, every breath you take, we should say, thank you, Lord. Every time our heart beats, we should say, praise you, God. We live in his blessing. But only 1 out of 10 You know, I wonder if even 1 out of 10 today live with an attitude of gratitude. We're given instructions by God to live a very specific way. Have you ever wondered why God directs us to live with love, faith, and hope as our main motivators? God knows it's only when we're striving toward holiness. Did you hear what I said? Striving toward holiness. We're trying every day. We pray that prayer, Lord, may I have less to ask your forgiveness for the next time I bow my knee. That's where sweet communion with God is. That's where peace and joy and hope and love abide. For we who are believers, an attitude of gratitude is dependent upon God's word being our guide. Listen, don't let CNN or Fox guide your thinking. Let God's word direct your path. Let it be a light unto your feet and a lamp unto your path. And hide its words in your heart. Why? That you may not sin against God. That's our direction. And I want to bring us to conclusion this morning, to return to our Lord. When our heart is changed, we will give thanks. It's not optional. We must give thanks. 9 out of 10 got what God could give, but only one came back, and him a Samaritan. Luke did that in chapter 10 last Sunday. Remember the Good Samaritan? And here again, that story is reminded that Christ would open up the world to all. Those lepers formed a group called a colony. That's probably the only reason that one Samaritan could hang out with 9 Jews, because the lepers were considered unclean. But I wonder today, are we, with the folks we hang out with, are we infecting them with an attitude of gratitude that leads to worship and praise and change? Do we have a loud voice in a loud world? The absence of an attitude of gratitude leads to a lack of worship, praise, and change. I want us to do an inventory before we leave. Here's the question, just quite simply. Where did you meet God in this past hour? Where did you meet him? Would you be honest enough to say, I didn't meet God. I just sat in the sanctuary for an hour and listened to the stuff going on. And today I want to encourage you to develop an attitude of gratitude. Did you meet him during the interview? Did you meet him during the singing? Did the video speak to you? When the veteran stood up, did God say a word to us? How disappointing it is to have God love us so much and give us so much, and for us not to even acknowledge who he is. One last story. Chuck Swindoll tells of visiting a veterans hospital. And the day he arrived to visit, he saw a touching scene. There was a man who was on the 5th floor and in the hospital, and at that day and time, the children couldn't come up on the hospital floor. And so this dad, who was very sick, had whittled for his son a little wooden truck. And since he couldn't come up, he gave it to the orderly and asked the orderly to carry it to his son. And he was looking out the window of the 5th floor as they were down in the parking lot and watching his gift be delivered. The little boy opened the package and his eyes got wide, and you could tell that he loved that truck the first second he saw it. He hugged it to his chest. And meanwhile, his father was up on the 5th floor by the window, kind of waving, trying to get his son's attention so his son could see that he'd given him that gift. But the little boy was so enthralled, and he walked over to the orderly and just hugged him for giving him such a wonderful gift. All the time, the father was at the window saying, look up here. I want you to see that I gave you this. I want to see your reaction. I want you to understand how much I love you. I want you to understand I gave this to you because you're so special to me. Finally, the mother and the orderly turned the little boy's attention to that fifth floor window. And then he cried out, Daddy. Oh, thank you, Daddy. I miss you, Daddy. Come home soon, Daddy. Thank you for my truck. It's the best, Daddy. And the father stood in the window with tears of gratitude running down his face. Oh, how many of us today see our Heavenly Father standing in heaven looking down, saying, oh, I bless you. Oh, I love you. I sent my son to pay for your sin. Look up. Look up here. Look up here. Don't look down there. You look up here. You know I love you. You know I care for you. Will we allow God to change our hearts, to give us an attitude of gratitude as we live out, that others will say, you're always looking up. What are you looking for? And you can say, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us, that you loved us when we were unlovely, when sin had left a crimson stain, but you washed it white as snow. There's someone here today, Lord, that needs your forgiveness, that needs to confess to you some sin in his or her life that's separating them from being all that you'd have them be. Oh God, today, may we develop an attitude of gratitude. There's some of us here today, Lord, who just say we've gotten busy with the wrong stuff, but we're ready to get busy with the right stuff. We're ready to look up. We're not going to hug the orderly. We're going to look to Dad. Oh, God, you know the need of every heart. You know every decision. That were it to be made today for you, it would make a difference. And that's my prayer. God, we're going to pray in just a few moments for these boxes. And we're going to pray, Lord, that they would leave this building and this nation with an attitude of gratitude toward you, and you would bless them in such a powerful way. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to sing, Oh, Praise the Name. I'm going to invite you to make your seat an altar right now. And if you need to confess something to Christ, if there's some sin in your life that's keeping you from being all, maybe you're dealing with it and you're struggling with it, but today God's Spirit has encouraged you to deal with it, I want you to do that. I'll be down here if you want to come talk to me. I'd love that. But then we're also going to bring the boxes during this song, and we're going to put them on this altar. And at the conclusion of our song, we're going to bless them and send them out. So it is now a time of decision, a time of presentation to God. And I want to invite you, if you've got a box, I want you to bring it. If you need to come for some other reason, I'll be down here waiting for you. But may each of us, before we leave the worship center today, make this decision. Lord, strengthen my attitude of gratitude as we stand together and sing.